हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसदिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. So now continuing on the fifth day, just beginning the fifth day. So Arjuna was showing great prowess along with Abhimanyu, Bhima, the twin Satyaki, and Yudhishthira, and now on the Kaurava side. Bhishma and the other powerful warriors continued their destruction of the Pandava army. Shikhandi faced Bhishma on a number of occasions, intent upon his destruction. But each time, Bhishma turned away from the fight. Drishtadyumna also constantly sought an opportunity to slay Drona. But the Kuru preceptor held off his attack and drove Drishtadyumna back with his irresistible assault. Drupad's son wondered how he would ever fulfill his destiny. But he fearlessly challenged Drona again and again, because you know what's going to happen, so you do your duty. So it may not, in the end, it may not come out to be done in this way, but he's performing his duty, and that's the proper thing. So you know what your result you're looking for, what duty you're supposed to be doing, you continue. Whether it's giving you result immediately or not, that you don't worry about. Our business is to perform our service. We're eternal. Our nature is servant, so that means we eternally serve. So it's not about, I serve, now I sit back and enjoy. No, we're eternal servants. And we see is that when we perform service, that's when we enjoy ourselves. Like the parents take care of the children, they're enjoying themselves. You know, so all these different things is that when service is there, one finds pleasure in that. So when one actually sees that relationship with the Lord, then one can eternally perform one's duties in connection with the Lord for His pleasure. And that will give us the greatest happiness. Bhima also constantly watched for any opportunities to catch Dhritarashtra's sons, right? So he's already gotten 14. Anyone that they were catching. He was determined to kill them as quickly as possible. As he roved across the battlefield, he appeared like the god of death. He favored fighting with his mace, although he was equally accomplished with the bow, and would frequently shower volleys of arrows on the Kurus. The fifth, sixth, and seventh days passed with many men being slaughtered, but none of the principal warriors fell on either side. In an attempt to limit the destruction Arjuna was causing among his troops, Duryodhan assigned Susharma and his army, the Saptakas, to engage him. Those warriors challenged Arjuna at the start of each day, and the Pandava duly fought with them, killing thousands. Right. So when you're a Samsaptaka, that means he was... As a normal battle, you go out and whoever challenges, you fight, and as it moves, like some others come and this and that, or you decide to not continue that fight, you can go off and fight someone else. Or others can come and challenge. But when there's some Saptakas, they've taken a vow that today I'm going to fight with this person, you know, I'm going to defeat this person. So they have the first right to challenge. And as long as they're challenging, then it always has to be their fight. So that's the thing with the Samsaptakas. Then they have that they've been assigned, and so that's their duty. So that way, then Arjuna becomes busy, and he can only fight with them. Right? Despite their inferior numbers, the Pandava army slowly wore down the enemy. Duryodhana repeatedly harangued Bhishma and Drona, accusing them of partiality towards the Pandavas. Because that could be, means Duryodhana thinks, I'm such a fabulous guy, everything's got to go the way I want it. Right? I do my duties, I'm fabulous, everything's going. So if it's not going the way I want, it has to be someone else's fault. Even though everybody has told him that, no, it's his own fault. But he always takes it, no. And he's also told him that, you can't defeat them. No, why is it you're not working hard enough? You worked hard enough, you're a greater warrior, you could defeat them. So, like that. Every day he does that. Both of them tried again and again to convince Duryodhana to stop the war to make peace. But Duryodhana was resolute. The fight would continue. Because his point is, they're my enemies, I'm not giving anything back to them, so therefore there must be a fight. You know, if there was another option, they would say, okay, we'll stop the fight, we'll go to the forest and all that. They wouldn't chase after them, they'd leave them alone. But no, they, you know, it's like that. No, it's a, they're not going to, Duryodhana is not going to get it. On the eighth day, Bhima encountered and killed another 17 of Duryodhana's brothers. Although a large contingent of them had surrounded Bhima and hurled their weapons at him, he cut them down relentlessly with his arrows. Standing on his chariot, it was clear that he intended to kill all of Duryodhana's brothers there and then. Only when Drona came forward showering him with arrows, were they unable to stop him. Or were they able to stop him? By shooting so many arrows that Bhima could no longer be seen, Drona allowed Dhritarashtra's sons to escape, but 17 he killed. Otherwise, there would have been, you know, all of them were there. He would have killed them all, because Drona stepped in then. Breaking free from Drona's attack, Bhima again ranged about the battlefield like a wolf amid a flock of sheep. As Bhima ravaged the Kaurava troops and the other Pandava heroes slew warriors in other parts of the battlefield, Arjuna's son Iravan came to the battle. Born from the Naga princess Ulupi, Iravan was a powerful celestial fighter. He headed a division of warriors who rode upon many huge horses that had been raised on the high tracks of the Himalayas. The horses were clad in steel mail and caprisioned in gold. The Naga fighters, riding them, charged at the Kauravas with fearful cries, appearing amid the battle like a flock of swans on the bosom of the ocean. Because you have all these very far-out colored horses, not like here, they're multicolored. And then they have all this steel mail, you know, like that, but these horses are so strong, the mail is also so well made. That is very fine and all that, and it's also got all the gold decorations on it and that. So when they come in, they look like a flock of, you know, the swans coming in, which is all right if it's just swans that are going to land. But when they land, that means you're going to be dead. Then it's not as, you know. The Naga cavalry were met on Duryodhana's side by a large division of horseback warriors from the hilly region of Gandhara, led by Shakuni's six younger brothers. Covered in armor and screaming battle cries, they rushed at Iravan and his troops and penetrated their forces, their minds fixed on victory or attainment of heaven. Iravan laughed loudly, calling out to his followers, "Kill all these warriors by any means." Right, so then they're also known, you know, as very powerful cavalrymen. Like even today, the, you know, Afghanis, they're very strong warriors. We've had so many large, powerful countries come to try to defeat them, and no one can ultimately. It means they can keep them from working, but they can't actually stop them. So they're very, very, I think the word is irascible, you know, just don't give up. You know? The Nagas displayed dazzling skills at riding and fighting. The horses seemed to float in the air, and their weapons fell from all sides onto their enemies. The Gandhara fighters were crushed, leaving only Shakuni's brothers to face the Nagas. They threw lances at Iravan and pierced his armor. The lances stuck out from his chest, back, and legs. Undaunted, Iravan pulled out the lances and hurled them back at his roaring foes. He came down from his horse with blood streaming from his wounds. Taking out a fearsome saber, he ran at Subala's sons. The powerful Naga appeared like a moving mountain covered with red ox eyes. As he whirled his saber and buckler, he covered himself on all sides. Although the Gandhara princes shot hundreds of arrows at him, they could find no gap in his defense. They surrounded Iravan and hurled their long lances. Beating down their spears, Iravan leapt up with his saber and cut off their arms and legs. Mutilated limbs fell to the earth, along with their weapons, armor, and shields. Iravan then swung his saber with deadly accuracy, severing his opponent's heads. Only one prince, Vrishabha, escaped. He ran to Duryodhana to report that the Gandhara forces had been annihilated. So that means that was the, you know, the six brothers or sons of Shakuni. And so they were with the Gandhara army that had come, so it had been annihilated. So except for him, it's gone. Duryodhana's wrath flared. He called for Alambusha, a massive Rakshasa of frightful appearance. Alambusha joined with Duryodhana because he hated Bhima, who had slain his brother Bhaka. Fair enough. As he came before Duryodhana, the Kaurava said, "Behold the destruction caused by Arjuna's son, the master of illusions, Iravan, can only be checked by one of equal power. O Hira, you are capable of going anywhere on earth and in the sky. You can assume forms at will. Go and slay Irvan in battle, the son of your sworn enemy's brother. Right? So, he's looking at it. Alambusha is there to fight because Bhima is his sworn enemy, and Bhima is on the other side. Now, Arjuna's brother, who is the brother of his sworn enemy, now he's that brother's son, so his nephew. So he's bringing it out there, not just a fight, but this is, you don't like Bhima. This is Bhima's nephew. Replying, so be it, the Rakshasa uttered his terrible war cry and rushed at Iravan. By his mystic power, he created a large division of demons mounted upon chargers. The demon warriors held lances fitted with spiked ends and brandished bludgeons stained with blood. Seeing Alambusha racing towards him, Iravan rallied his horsemen. Then the Nagas and Rakshasas clashed. Soon both divisions were slain, and Iravan and Alambusha faced one another alone, just as Indra met the demon Vritra in ancient times. As the Rakshasa approached Iravan, the Naga swung his saber and cut apart his enemy's sword. Alambusha rose up into the sky and confounded Iravan's attack. Iravan, by his own powers, followed the Rakshasa into the heavens. Right, so the Rakshasas can make all these illusions for others, but then the Gandharvas also, they're also Antariksha, means the space between the heavens and earth. So they can also move in these. They also have their mystic powers. In their shining armor, the fighters appeared like two planets colliding. Assailing the Rakshasa with great force, Iravan cut off his limbs and mutilated his body. But Alambusha somehow evaded death. Rather, he immediately appeared in a new, youthful body. Iravan slashed at him again and again with his saber and battle axe, but the Rakshasa appeared in a new body each time. Alambusha roared discordantly, the sound filling the sky. He suddenly assumed a dreadful and prodigious form and tried to capture Iravan. As thousands of warriors looked on from below, Iravan created his own illusions. He appeared in an enormous form resembling Anantasesha. Numerous other Nagas in the forms of terrible-looking servants surrounded him, because being a Naga, they're snakes, and so then he can take on big, big forms, they can change size and do all these things. They closed on Alambusha, baring their fangs and spitting poison. The Rakshasa, after reflecting for a moment, assumed the form of Garuda. Swooping about rapidly, he devoured his antagonists. Iravan was confounded by Alambusha's illusory powers. As the Naga again assumed his own form, Alambusha rushed at him, swinging his great sword. With a powerful stroke, he cut off Iravan's head, graced with earrings and a diadem, and it fell to the earth like the moon falling from the heavens. Duryodhana's followers cheered loudly and fought on with a renewed vigor. The Pandava forces cried out in dismay. Elsewhere on the field, Arjuna battled the Samsapticas, unaware of his son's death. Because otherwise, if this went on, Arjuna would have been there. But this is Duryodhana's plan. He just puts these Samsapticas with him, because I think it's 25,000 chariot warriors. That means them with all their, you know, horses and elephants and everything like that. And so then he has to, you know, out of duty, fight with them. You know, only when they're finished, then, you know, so it's Duryodhana's way of just getting rid of Arjuna. But Gadotkaja had seen Iravan's death. Enraged, he sent up a huge roar. The earth with her mountains and lakes quaked as the terrifying cry echoed off the distant hills. The Kauravas trembled and perspired. Their limbs froze in fear, and they gazed about to see what had caused that horrific sound. Depressed by the cry, they fled in all directions like a herd of deer frightened by a lion. Gadotkaja raised his blazing trident and advanced towards the Kauravas. He was backed by hordes of Rakshasas who had all assumed fearful forms, right? Because they can take nicer forms and more wild forms as they please, but now they're upset, so naturally you're going to take a very grumpy form, right? As they rushed into battle, they dispersed the enemy troops like the wind blowing away dust and debris, so that means it didn't take much to get rid of them. Duryodhana saw his forces fleeing in fear at the sight of the Rakshasas. Shouting out a battle cry, he stood firm to face them. He shook his bow and took out a number of long, razor-headed shafts. Behind him stood a large division of elephant fighters. They rested at the Rakshasas, yelling out their war cries again and again. Gadotkaja was furious, right? Because technically, this was his cousin, right? Because he's Bhima's son, and Iravan was Arjuna's son. And so they're cousins. And not only that, they're both you know, from the Antariksha. So they're both, you know, the same kind of level of position. Ghatotkacha was furious, screaming. He and his loyal followers met Duryodhana's forces. Appearing as fiends, goblins, and hideous demons, the mighty Rakshasas attacked the elephants. With arrows, darts, sabers, lances, mallets, and battle axes, they slew the warriors who rode them, then lifted boulders and trees and killed the elephants. Crushing and butchering the entire division, the Rakshasas roared in triumph. Duryodhana was beside himself in anger. Heedless of his own life, he rushed at Ghatotkacha and his troops. The powerful Kuru sped countless arrows at his foes. He killed dozens of them, and they fell screaming to the earth. Duryodhana exhibited astonishing prowess as he ranged about the field. His shafts flew like lightning and severely afflicted the Rakshasas. Ghatotkacha then personally attacked Duryodhana. Although Ghatotkacha rushed forward like death incarnate, Duryodhana did not waver. The Rakshasa approached him and began to rebuke him. "O evil-minded one, today I will liquidate the debt I owe my fathers whom you exiled. You robbed such virtuous men and insulted their chaste wife. O man of perverse intelligence, wretch of your race, for these and many other insults, I will now punish you. Stand and fight if you have any courage." Biting his lips, Ghatotkacha released a shower of arrows at Duryodhana. The Kaurava seemed like a mountain under a storm in the rainy season, but he bore the arrows without flinching, as if he were an elephant receiving a shower of flowers. He shot 25 shafts at the Rakshasa in reply. His arrows fell like serpents falling upon the Gandamandana mountain. Pierced and bleeding, Ghatotkacha resolved to kill Duryodhana. Forgetful of his father's vow, he took up a mighty lance that was capable of penetrating rock. It blazed with brilliant effulgence as Ghatotkacha raised it to destroy Duryodhana. Seeing the Kaurava in danger, the leader of an elephant division, a king named Banga, urged his elephant forward. He came between Duryodhana and the Rakshasa just as the lance was hurled. Struck by the blazing lance, the elephant was slain, and the king leapt from its back. Duryodhana seethed. His forces were being slain on all sides. Now, Bhima's Rakshasa son stood before him like an immovable mountain. How could he possibly overpower him? But keeping in mind his Kshatriya duty, the Kaurava prince stood firm. He let go a number of shearing shafts that flew towards Ghatotkacha like a cluster of comets. The Rakshasa moved about quickly and expertly evaded the arrows. He roared repeatedly, petrifying his enemies. Hearing his roars, Bhishma became fearful for Duryodhana's life. He went quickly to Drona and said, "It seems from his cries that Ghatotkacha is overpowering the king. No creature can conquer Bhima's son. Only you can help the king. Go at once and rescue him. May good betide you." Drona immediately turned towards the sound of Ghatotkacha's roars. He was followed by Ashwatthama, Kripa, Bahlika, Somadatta, Shalya, Bhurishrava, and other Kuru warriors. Reaching Duryodhana, Drona saw that he was hard-pressed. He quickly shot a volley of arrows at Ghatotkacha, while the other Kurus attacked the Rakshasa army with arrows, darts, and lances. The crack of bowstrings striking leather fences sounded like the crackling of burning bamboos in a forest fire. A crackling of the bamboos when there's a fire, it's a real pop, real sharp, you know, kind of very loud, sudden sound. So that would be the sound. The Kurus hurled the lances at the Rakshasas, and they soared through the air like thousands of virulent serpents. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.